Welcome to Scripture Adventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasure. In 2024, I had the honor of speaking at Refuge Church in Conroe, Texas. Their women's ministry had hosted a powerful conference earlier that year, unpacking what it means to be called by God. In December, they continued that message by exploring what it means to be gifted by God, and I had the blessing of sharing what I had learned with a beautiful group of women. Then earlier this year, I had the privilege of partnering with guest speakers at Carbon Church in Montgomery, Texas, for their Chainbreaker Women's Conference, where we confronted the hard but healing topics of forgiveness and boundaries. As the conference came to a close, I once again had the opportunity to share on the topic of gifting. Since then, several friends have encouraged me to make the message more widely available, so today I'm bringing you a condensed version of that teaching. But before we dive in, I want to encourage anyone who may be listening and searching for a church home to consider visiting Refuge Church or Carbon Church. I've been truly blessed to walk alongside the people who make up these communities. Both churches are united by a shared purpose, to love people the way Jesus loves them. Their authenticity, hospitality, and heart for others make them places where you can grow, heal, and belong. Okay, so I want to start by asking you the same question I asked those ladies at the conferences. Do you believe God has given you spiritual gifts, and do you know what your spiritual gifting is? I think many of us know that we have been called to be active in the movement of the kingdom, but often we fail to realize that God not only calls, but he also equips. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been called and you are equipped. But don't take my word for it. Let's walk through the word together today and see what God says. In 2 Timothy 1:9, Paul reminds us that we have been called by God to live a holy life, not because it is something we deserve, but because it was his plan from the beginning, a plan that included us being saved by his grace through Jesus Christ. This follows Paul's message on suffering for the sake of the gospel. Now he's reminding the believers that through our belief, we are also called to serve others and carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. As this verse concludes, he reminds us to have humble hearts regardless of our title and our platform. This calling is not an elite status. It is something that has existed since the beginning of time and is available to all who believe. This is a holy invitation from God to live in partnership with him as we move the gospel forward. So now that we've unpacked what it means to be called by God, let's turn to how he equips us to fulfill this calling. I have taught on this topic twice in a 6-month span, and I'm still amazed at how God continues to reveal new things to me. Let's first go to 1 Peter 4. I'm going to start with verse 10, where it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Now, I want to stop right there and slow it down a little bit, because if you're anything like me, your brain just read through that and didn't take note of some key points that need to stand out in these sentences. And with that, it means it hasn't determined what to do with this information yet. So we need to help our brains out by doing some Bible work. So first, let's ask ourselves, what did God do? Well, it says he gave. And who did God give to? To you. What did God give? A gift. And where did the gift come from? His great variety. Finally, what did the gift contain? Spiritual gifts. Proverbs 31 ministry has a saying, know the truth, live the truth. It changes everything. I truly believe this method can be life-changing if we slow down and take time to personalize scripture and allow our brains to go from reading without purpose to reading with intent. So that is my goal today, to help our brains slow down and personalize this message Peter shared. We can read this message from Peter and believe it, but to truly embrace it and accept it as truth for our own individual lives is sometimes challenging. Before I move on with the teaching from Peter, I want to share a personal story with you and how I've struggled with embracing this truth myself and how God used Wonder Woman to open my eyes to the gifting he has bestowed upon me and each of you. Some of you might be in the same category I was in for years. I can believe that what this verse says is true, and I could even trust that I too was given a gifting from God. But honestly, I had no clue what it was. I found myself living in a land of make-believe as I waited for God to show me more clearly what my gifting was. I live in a house of all boys and have never really been a girly girl anyways. As a little girl, I loved watching the New Adventures of Wonder Woman with my dad. I would find anything and everything from the house to use as parts for my costumes as I tried to be like Linda Carter, acting out scenes from the TV show. I can't tell you how many times my poor daddy got slapped in the face with my jump rope as I tried to lasso something in the house. I'm telling you, my poor daddy went through it with me. I can't tell you the countless times I made him laugh so hard he almost fell over as I tried to lift two cars in the parking lot with my scrawny little arms. No matter how silly it seemed, my dad would go along with my request to be like Wonder Woman in every way. If I wanted to fly, he would put cushions around the bed so I could leap off and have a smooth landing. Wanting to test my super strength skills, he would find something he didn't mind me breaking. But one of my favorite memories was when I would use that jump rope as my lasso of truth and wrap it around him as I asked countless questions. He would play along for what seemed like hours just to make me smile and maybe to wear me out so I would nap. I have a history of living in the land of make-believe and wishful thinking. Skip forward a few years, and you can now find me watching the Marvel Wonder Woman movie with my guys. In this movie, there is a scene where a young girl, Diana, is wanting to learn how to fight and be like all the women she sees on the island where she lives. As the scene plays out, we see her learning to become a warrior as she trains with her aunt, who is also the general. This scene intensifies as she is growing into a warrior under her aunt's teaching, but ends when she unleashes a sonic blast from her gauntlets. The look on her face from this scene came flashing to my mind as I prepared for my talks on gifting. Now, why would I share my Wonder Woman memories with you? How in the world can I tie this into God's gifting for our lives? Like me, I think many of us, in our lack of understanding of our gifting, fall into a world of make-believe. And like Diana, I think many of us feel confused and overwhelmed when we do find our true gifting. It is one thing to pretend like I did as a little girl. It is one thing to train like Diana did in the movie. But it is another thing to realize the gifting is real and has life-changing power behind it. Let's look at 1 Peter 4:11, where we're told, "Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy God supplies." Now again, I want to stop here for a minute. Who is Peter talking to here? You. Who is Peter asking, or what is Peter asking if you have a gift? And how did Peter tell you your gifts are fueled by? God himself. It is so important that we slow down and make sure that our brains understand that the scripture is about us. Now let's continue reading. "Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." And we'll come back to this in a little bit, but for now, let's focus on the who. I know it may be hard for some of you to relate Wonder Woman to scripture, and I do want to share that I am in no way trying to make light of scripture or want to compare mythology to scripture. I shared the Wonder Woman story with you because it helps me articulate how deeply I have dreamed of having special gifts since I was a young girl. I think we all have a longing like this. It isn't until we give our lives to Christ that we realize the longing isn't for fantasy superhero powers, but for powers that are life-changing and span all the way to eternity. If you are still struggling to believe that you have been given a gifting from God, I believe this next set of scriptures might be beneficial for you. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 7, it says that he has given each of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now, it did not just say that it's for some of us, and it didn't just say it's for the called or the righteous. Didn't also just say it's for the ones that have it all together. Just so you know, those people don't exist anyways. Who did it say he gave gifts to? Each one of us. What type of gifts did it say he gave? Special gifts. The who in these verses matter. Remember, make it personal so your brain understands that these are statements of truth that pertain to you as a person, as a child of God. John 14:26 says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you." We saw in 1 Peter 4 that God has given each of us a gift and that each gift is powered by God. Here, we see Jesus confirm that and remind us that not only is the power given to us, but that God has also given us the helper, the advocate, to manage these gifts and ensure that we remember everything Jesus has told us. 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. There's a lot to unpack here. We see that Paul is writing from a dark prison cell and reminding Timothy not to be shy with his gifts. This is true for you and I as well. Now, the Message translation might not be doctrinal and one that I normally spend a lot of time in, but sometimes I just like the language that it uses. So that's what I'm going to read to you here. And it says, "And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze." God doesn't want us to be shy with these gifts, but bold and loving and sensible. God has given us gifts from his great variety, being fueled by the power of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He has called us not to be shy and timid about our gifting, but to be bold, loving, and simple, sensible, keeping what we receive ablaze. Now, how many of you have ever tended to a fire? Do you just sit and watch, or do you have to do something to keep it burning? That's right. It takes something from you. This scripture demonstrates that it is going to take action from us and that the gifts serve a purpose for God. If you feel you need more on this, I encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 1 verses 4 through 8 when you have time. Now I want to look at the purpose behind the gifts, which is also found in Ephesians 4 and Romans 12. But for the sake of time, I'm not going to read through all of them. But please take time to look them over this week. You see, God has given each of us special gifts for the purpose of bringing glory to God and for the purpose of functioning as one body in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 specifically mention the purpose of the gifts and our role as Christ followers is to build up the church, the body of Christ, and that this will continue until we all can come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we are mature in the Lord. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful? Our gifting is not just about serving others and glorifying God. They are also about building the body of Christ in unity and preparing us for eternity with God the Father. So, what are the gifts? A big part of understanding your gifting is centered on the knowledge of what the gifts are. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, Paul shares what these gifts are. And now I'm going to start at verse 7, where Paul shares that a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we help each other. And then in verse 8, he tells us that it is the Spirit that gives the gifts, which are give wise advice, special knowledge, great faith, gift of healing, power to perform miracles, ability to prophesy, discernment, speak in tongues, interpret tongues. And then in verse 22, it says the Spirit distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should get. Don't skip over these verses where we see again each. Each of us is noted in both of these verses, 7 and 11, and then again in verse 22. Gifting is not selective in terms of only being available for pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, etc. In these two verses, we find the purpose of the gifts and the giver of the gifts clarified again. Keeping in mind that the gifts are given with the purpose of unity within the body of Christ, let's look back at verse 26 and 27. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. If there has ever been a confirmation that God has never wanted us to be trapped in comparison, it is there. You were uniquely created with a specific purpose that only you can fulfill. Let's keep going. Verse 28 says, here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church: apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, leaders, speak in tongues. I want to pause for a minute and share something that I learned in Hosea. Because some of you may still be sitting in your chair secretly thinking, I don't have any of those gifts. Or maybe you're thinking, I would like to have such and such gift. I want to urge you to pay close attention to Paul's message at the end of chapter 12. But for now, I want to take you another place in scripture. I actually had the pleasure of walking through the book of Hosea with my Bible study group. And in our homework, Jennifer Rothschild shared something I felt so fitting for this message. She said, you are a leader to someone. You have influence. We all do. And with influence comes responsibility. If you don't think you have a gift, I want you to listen to that again. You are a leader to someone. You have influence. We all do. And with influence comes responsibility. I need you to understand that what I'm about to say isn't some cute cliche. It's the truth. You may be the only Jesus someone sees. As a Christ follower, you have a calling and you have a gift. So now what? Let me share something else that came across my site as I prepared. In one of her episodes, author Nancy DeFrance shared, Jesus was not born to be a carpenter, but for 30 years he did what he was not born for. Yet it was part of the preparation. Why? Because God can prepare you in the everyday responsibilities of life for a supernatural call. People think they have to be in a spiritual role to be prepared spiritually. That's not true. God prepares you spiritually while you're doing natural responsibilities. He's not using the spectacular to build your life on. He is using the routine, everyday obedience and faithfulness. Oh, if you are struggling to understand your gifting, I want to challenge you to spend some alone time with God. Get in the Word and ask God to show you what gifting He has given to you. Work while you wait. While you wait, don't focus on what you don't know or don't have. Instead, focus on being obedient and on being faithful to God in your day-to-day activities. Be Jesus to everyone and go in confidence, remembering our greatest call requires the most special gift of all. Let's continue looking at Peter's message. It was written to a group of early Christians scattered, not together, throughout the Roman provinces of Asia Minor. He wasn't talking to them in a group setting. There were no podcasts or conferences then. Instead, they were sent out throughout the world to spread the gospel. In previous chapters, Peter was instructing those that made the decision to follow Christ the need to understand that we are holy people, rescued from meaningless lives and set apart to be used for God. And I'm sure you've heard this before. If you aren't being attacked, look at your life. The thief doesn't need to steal what he already has. This is why it's so important that we listen to all of what Peter had to share in chapter 4. Be on guard and know what needs to change in your life so that you can fully live out your Christian calling. As we prepare to close our lesson today, I want to remind you that the greatest command we have been given is to love. Paul doesn't mince words in 1 Corinthians 13. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I did not love others, I would have gained nothing. Did you catch it? He basically just said, if I had every spiritual gift listed from the previous chapter, but did not have love, then I had nothing and was useless. We live in an environment that is constantly calling us to measure ourselves against a list of standards that is impossible to reach. We live in a society that keeps us comparing and reaching for realities that are a facade. Scripture is the heart of God, his love letter to his precious daughters and sons. He is telling you, he is telling me, I love you. I have given you everything you need to do the good work. Trust in me and in what I have left with you. Your gifting is so precious. And let's remember what the Apostle Peter said. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Trust in this and live love. God bless each of you. I'll see you on the next adventure.